and welcome to the 41st episode of Lake of Rage, a Pokemon trading card game podcast. I am your host, as always, Kevin Clementi, aka Mellow underscore Magikarp, and I am joined today by two very special temporary guest hosts. Joining us once again is Sack, aka SackSack17.
What's up, Mellow? Thanks for having me.
And once again, we have talking from his phone, Nikhil, aka the Gyroscope Eevee.
How's it going, everybody?
So we're going to be doing a best of 2021 episode. This was originally supposed to come out last week, but quick story time. Your boy was in Arizona for the holidays visiting his family, and my wife's family were both from Arizona. And we got stuck because Seattle got a bunch of snow. My flight got delayed. It was miserable. I had to stay with my parents again. There's nothing like being a 30-year-old living with your parents when you normally don't and feeling like a kid again, and just, it's terrible. Do not recommend at all. I feel like if had I lived with them the whole time, it would have been much easier to be like, no, I'm my own person. Leave me alone. When you go from being 18 to 30 and living with them, oh, do not recommend. I was an 18-year-old again. It was terrible. But anyway.
I do not recommend being 18.
That too. So anyway, podcast did not happen last week because I was stuck in Arizona and I had to get a later flight and et cetera, et cetera. But we are back and better than ever because a bunch of you have filled out the survey. I'm going to have it linked in the description box of this video, but I've been reading. Some of them are going to be taken into account. You have some really good suggestions. Some are actually impossible or very unfeasible. And a lot of them just say, you rock. If you said you rock, I do appreciate that. But I can't do anything about that except continue to provide good services. But one thing I'm going to try and do, and I'm saying this out loud on the podcast, so you check for it. A lot of you, like a decent handful, said you want timestamps. So I'm going to try and do timestamps on this episode. For sure on YouTube, because I learned how to do that. Hopefully on all other podcasting apps. If it is not on your podcasting app of choice, feel free to DM me, at me on Twitter, go to my Discord, let me know, and I will figure out how to do it on that one. But I'm hoping it works on every single platform. So if you haven't done the survey, please do. And if you have done the survey, we've been listening. Anyway, the plan for today. We are going to recap our 2021 seasons. Each of us had a very different year of Pokemon. Then we're going to get into the best ofs. We have a couple different awards, I guess, that we want to give out for the 2021 season, how it's going to be remembered. And then we'll get into some questions from Twitch chat. As always, we are live on twitch.tv/mellow_Magikarp. So let's start with a recap of our season. We're going to start with the person who played the least and then work our way up. So, Nikhil, how was your season of Pokemon?
I definitely didn't play nearly as much as most people on the team, but I don't think I didn't play. I don't even remember back to like what January's battle styles, like Vivid Voltage still, right?
January's Vivid Voltage. Yeah.
Yeah. So I stopped playing Vivid Voltage format after like a month because who liked that format? I played, I believe, in the team challenge in that era though. I qualified in that with, Desigoons. I played some Tempozard in those. Played more Desigoons. Loved that deck so much. Desigoons, Tempozard, and Pikarom were like three of my favorite decks this year to play by far. Not even a doubt in my mind.
Peak.
Didn't qualify for a Players' Cup. I stopped playing Standard, I think, around Chilling Rain's release, and then started again because a lot of stores, in my area started like doing like local events and like stuff like that. So I started actually like trying again. Won a bunch of those, did pretty well. Was pretty happy with that. And then took a backseat from Standard when Evolving Skies came out for a little bit and then got back into it, practicing for the season coming up. Still kind of doing that on and off with like the current format because I am going to another Full Grip 1K. I'm going to their, what's this next set? Brilliant Stars?
Yes.
Is that the one?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm going to that one. I'm playing in both. So I am like trying to get myself back in the Standard mindset as well as putting a lot of time into the Gym Leader Challenge format. I've like completely gotten like fallen in love with that format. I really enjoy it. So I've been putting a lot of time into that. And then the only like real success that I say I'd had was I took Sack's list of Pikarom with a Medicham V in it to Pog. I was like 5-1 playing for day two. And then I hit like two Luke medals and an Ice Rider, which were like complete auto losses. Like there was no way I was beating those decks. But I was like super proud that I got to 5-1 with like a Medicham V and Pikaram in a format that was like heavily dominated in a lot of people's mind by Urshifu. But Sack like was like, let's just throw some Mewtwo's in here. You tandem shock them, and then you go Medicham V and you take 3 prizes off one, and then you do it again. And I was actually kind of broken. Like I was like, dang, this worked.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
We'll definitely talk about Urshifu's dominance in the best of section. That feels like something that will come up. So, Sack, what about you? How was your 2021 year of the Pokemon trading card?
It was a lot of fun. Made a lot of progress, a lot of gains. qualified for Players Cup 3. A lot of gains. Well, leaps and bounds. qualified for Players Cup 3. I don't think I played in it, though, if I had to, like, remember. Don't think I played in it, but still qualified. Did all the keys and stuff, so that was cool. Played in the team challenge, though. Got top 16 in the spring one with my locals. went pretty far, and that was a lot of was good times. What else did I do? Worked on some commentary, right, some casting. I think I want to focus that as a goal for 2022. So, like, to look back at that, it's like, oh, got into it a little bit, got better at it, and that was kind of neat. So, Pokemon-wise, that was fun. Played in Pog as well. Went 7-2 day one to make day two. Playing Pikaram, of course. I hit Caleb Gedimer round 10 or 7-3. Whatever it is, you have to make it. Barely made it. I went in at round 10. I had Caleb playing Urshifu against my Pikaram. And that was fun. Beat him to make it to day two. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it. Had a lot of store challenges that I participated in, and I don't know. Now we're here.
And then myself, 2021 was kind of like you all, very top heavy. Like Players Cup and team challenges were at the start of the year. Players Cups were fun. I was a win away from making it to day two or tops, you know, like the extra phase of Players Cup 4 with Rao Eggs. And then I hit the only two Eternatus at the top tables, and I hit them both in a row. Relish. That one was a rough one because it was like, bro, this deck is so much fun. I'm killing it with this thing. I was like 5-1 or 6-1 or something like that. And then it was like Eternatus. I was like, oh, this is actually an auto loss. But it's fine because there's like one other Eternatus at the top tables. And then I hit it and it was like, all right. So I missed making my second day two in Players Cups, which would have been super cool, but that's life. I also played in the team challenge. I made it. It was a heck of a lot of fun because I liked everyone on my team. We were friends. We all got together at the store to play in our team challenge matches. And unfortunately, we lost due to some, Pokemon stuff happening. It was like, you know, one of our players brought Relish. I was the coach because I brought Pikaram. And they literally brought 4 decks that beat Pikaram. Or sorry, 3 and Victini. And so I was like, I can't play. And so I was the coach. I was helping the Relish player against Victini. And we beat them the one game that we got to play, but the other games were, you know, less ideal. And then, yeah, it was rough, but it was super good. It was super good. We lost our one round, though, but I got the box. And then Pog was the other one. That was kind of nice. Pog, one of my big goals of the season was to make day two of Pog. I made day two of the first one, top 16 in the first one. So I was like, I got this. I played Dark Mewtwo because that deck was absolutely nuts. One of my favorites. I love the tag call engine. I love Mewtwo. Made day two pretty darn easily. I think I was dropped like 2 rounds early or something like that, like 7-1 or whatever made it. And it was like, all right, sick. I'm broken. I'm good for day two. I'm going to sleeve up the same thing. Day two, wake up at 4:30 in the morning. I sit behind my computer screen. I play miserably bad against Luke Metal in round 1. And then I'm like, I'm not awake. I'm done with this. And day two did not go well. I literally got last place because, like I said, I might as well have just slept through the tournament. Awful, awful. Shout out to everyone who listens to this, who plays either really late into the night or wakes up really early in the morning, because I know you all exist. I don't know how you freaking do it. I was dead in that day two. And then post
actually reminds me.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, post-rotation, I have not played as much, mostly because I'm back to works full-time. Before rotation, school wasn't quite full-time, so now it's hard to actually play in tournaments, because every weekday tournament starts before I get off work. Shout out to the West Coast, except Lesages. Lesages does not, but Lesages goes too late at night, considering I have to wake up early in the morning. So it's like, bro, weeknight tournaments suck. That's all I'm going to say. That's my opinion. Weeknight tournaments suck. Shout out to everyone who plays in them. I'm glad they work for you. They do not. But yeah, I haven't played as much, but IRL, I pre-ordered an entire Mew VMAX deck, which was a heck of a lot of money. And then I took it to one cash tournament and I won all of that money back. And that is very good feeling. Yeah, that's been my season. It's I haven't played as much as I want to post rotation, but you know what? Otherwise, it's been pretty good.
And then I guess we could summarize the rest of the team. There was like a couple big accomplishments, I'd say. One that has not been mentioned is Anya. Their team got top four, I believe, in the second team challenge, which was really impressive. Like, I think they got third or fourth place with Matt, which was super cool. So have to give Anya some love for doing that, because honestly forgot Anya existed for about 2 months there, because I think they messaged the Discord twice.
Happens.
And then also, I mean, it's kind of hard to go back over the amount of finals or, you know, wins we've had this season in the weekly online tournaments, but some of the more notable ones, obviously kind of getting carried by Azul GG, winning a Players' Cup, as well as what, making finals in the Invitational, right?
Yes.
He also, I believe, won a Full Grip Games 1K. He got finals at another one, top eight at another one, top eight at the other one. So consistently putting out, you know, the performance that we expect from the Big Rat. So massive shout outs to him. He's been killing it this season for sure. And it's just like super awesome to see him perform really well and watch a player at his level, like, you know, consistently perform all season long. And as much as he does, you know, we don't get to see it enough, I feel like. But with these weekly tournaments, we get to see him really like show his true skill.
Oh, for sure. And speaking of the 2021 season, let's go ahead and get into some of the best ofs. So we have five best ofs that I want to talk about, or I don't know if best of, there's one. So I want to talk about the best set, the best moment, the most disappointing moment, the best card, and the best deck. So let's go ahead and start with the best set. Vivid Voltage was released in 2021, but spoiler alert, that, or 2020, sorry, but that would not have won in 2021 anyway. So we have Battle Styles, Chilling Rain, Evolving Skies, and Fusion Strike. We're not going to include Celebrations or what's the other one called? The other mini set.
Shining Fates.
There we go. We're not going to include those. They were not super competitive. So between those four sets, I want to start, and I have to say, I think Battle Styles was the best set to be released in 2021, because I am in absolute love with Rapid Strike and Single Strike as things. Like, it only gave us two things, but I love them so much. I think they're super cool. I love that we have actual stuff going on. You have support for all these other things. So to me, Battle Styles was the best set released in 2021. Nikhil, what do you say?
I'm kind of torn between a couple. I mean, Battle Styles was ridiculously good. Just the Single Strike and Rapid Strike, like, engines being a thing was really cool. Like, I really enjoyed that coming out. But one set that I think I want to give a lot of love to is Chilling Rain. I think Ice Rider, as well as things like, what, the Inteleon line? The Inteleon line alone was a huge piece. Because now we just see that in, like, every deck, basically, is the Drizzile plus Inteleon combination. And I really enjoy that being like in existence, because I'm not sure what we would have resorted to. Like, I know there would have been another line we would have used, maybe some Chino, something like that. But Inteleon, I mean, Ice Rider was really cool. I mean, obviously Shadow Rider was really strong, but it kind of fell off, unfortunately. You got cards like your Moltres, your Galarian, Birds were really cool. I think all three of those V cards see, you know, some pretty cool use. But I do agree that I think Battle Styles would probably be the best set. But my favorite is probably Chilling Rain.
All right, Sack, what do you say?
Fair enough. I'd have to go, like, the best set gives the best card, right? So I'd have to agree with Mello on the Battle Styles. But I'm, like, a big fan of Evolving Skies and everything that came out of there. I think Fusion Strike is definitely last. Everything he gave us is Mew. Right? It's like, all right, here's Mew. You got one thing. Great. But Mew didn't carry the entire year. doesn't come close to the accomplishments of the entire year for all the other sets. Chilling Rain gave us pretty much just Shadow Rider. If you look at like what did well in that set, it was just Shadow Rider.
We got
Shadow
Ice Rider and Suicune?
No, Suicune was Evolving
Skies. Evolving Skies.
Oh, ooh, maybe Evolving Skies. EVS no, I'm sticking with Battle really Styles.
Yeah. EVS was also really good. We didn't like, I'd say like of all the sets we got, like the core sets we got this year, like none of them were like bad. Like none of them were just like completely useless. Like all of them affected the format in some way. Like Vivid Voltage just like didn't do that. Like a lot of the format was the same, but like all four sets we got this year were like, okay, now there's some stuff coming into the game. You know, we got Urshifu and then we had Shadow Riders and then we had Umbreons and Suicunes and all this shenanigans, and then we had and then we have Mew, which is 35% of the meta in some events, which is ridiculous. So much fun.
Good deck is good.
But I'd have to say probably Battle Styles, because it gives the best card of the year in Urshifu.
Yeah.
Rapid or single strike?
Rapid strike in a big way.
No doubt in my mind.
I figured, but you got to make sure of it. All right, so it sounds like the Lake of Rage award, the Lakey, the Ragey. I don't know. I don't have any
name.
I
like the Lakey.
The Lakey?
The Lakey award?
I like the Lakey. The
Lakey award goes to Battle Styles. Battle Styles.
Yeah, I love this set mostly because I love the mechanic. I think it's so cool. All right, let's go ahead. And the next one's a little harder. It's a little more objective. Subjective. The best moment of the 2021 season. Would either of you like to start off, or should I go for this one?
All right. First things first, personal or overall in the Pokemon community?
Overall.
Overall? All right. I know. I'm going to say Azul winning Players Cup 3, 4. Whichever one you won.
That was pretty sick.
3, yeah.
That was pretty cool.
It's like pre-recorded, right? So then they went through the Players Cup thing. No one was allowed to talk about it. And then he watched it back on his channel and commentated over it and like redid everything.
Oh, that's
and just
a good one.
Everyone coming together and watching that with him as he won. Like, hey guys, let's watch this. Let's just rewatch the tournament. We're just going to go over it again. And then you're like, Azul, you keep winning. Did you win this? And then anytime anyone asked, did you win this? Timed out. Right? Couldn't talk
about it. We banned them entirely. We didn't even time them out.
Well, I got timed out for 10 minutes.
So yeah, but you were a mod. So.
Yeah.
So just, and he kept winning over and over again. We kept watching it. And then we got to the finals and he won. It was just so good to have like been a part of that and seen that and just to watch Azul do his thing. And so I think that would be probably the best moment for the community overall.
That was really
that was
good.
Also, like, they recognized him as like the leader of the rat pack. Like they put that in a tweet, right? Like they said something about rats with him, which was like huge. Cause that was like a big moment knowing like that they watched the community and they understand like the mini communities we've built. And I'd say mine kind of coincides with that, which is the release of Celebrations, which might be strange, but seeing them send out the Celebrations like plaques to certain celebrities in the community, seeing the different content creators get it, seeing the hype around it and the excitement for like these old cards getting reprinted. That was a really cool time for Pokemon. But if I didn't say that, I'd definitely say the season getting announced again. Like the sheer like joy on so many players, like on Twitter and on Twitch and all over the community, just like hearing there's a shot at events being this season was just like super cool to me, because that was like we've been waiting for so long for that, just that announcement, you know?
Yeah, that's another one that's really
Celebration.
It was up there.
Celebration. All those cards again. Like, once you could find them, right? You're like, all right, well, I got some hands on some Celebrations, right? And you open it up, and you're like, Luxray level X takes you back. Right? And then you're like, Charizard, open up base set Charizard, takes it back. It was so fun that first week just to go hunt cards and find as many packs of Celebrations to open. Like, I've opened up so much Celebrations because it was so nice. And then Celebrations became so common. They were everywhere. And the cards were cheap, and it was so great because you could have access to any of the cards.
Full art Professor's research, Oak? Like a dollar?
A dollar. How many play sets you want? Because you could have as many as you want, because so many of that set got open. It was so good.
Stores
so
are bulking the holos from it. Like, they're making the holos that you get in the packs bulk because there's too many of them.
So many.
But, like, I mean, Azul, I remember Azul and Mahone opening their box that they got from Pokemon. And just, like, Azul talking about the cards in those packs that like meant something to him was so cool, because like you got to hear his experience and his past of the Pokemon community. When Andrew pulled like the Zapdos, right? You got to hear how much that Zapdos card means to him, or you know, Melo getting his Magikarp, right? Like, or his Gyarados, right? Like everyone getting the cards like just really meant a lot to them. Like I got my Donphan Prime, and that was just like so cool, because that was like the first deck I ever played and did well with in Pokemon. Like it was just really cool to see like so many people being so passionate about Pokemon once again.
Yeah. And mine goes kind of off of both of those. As a whole for me, and obviously it's a little selfish of me, but TPCI working so hard towards content creators now and really recognizing for the competitive game, but also for pack opening and for everything, there are so many people who help give free advertising to their products constantly. And it feels like this is the first year they've recognized content creators exist and they shove so much support. It's so nice. I'm like kind of on the cusp of like, I've got some stuff. Yeah, I got the celebrations box, which was, oh, that was so amazing opening that thing. Like, because I was hunting for a Magikarp and Gyarados, right? I pulled full art Mews. I pulled three of those gold right? Mews, and I was like, I don't want this. I want a freaking Magikarp. Like, where's my cart? But I was like, oh, that was so much fun. And I love that they do that. You know, they recognize, like you said, it was in the tweet announcing Azul as the person in the Invitational. You know, it's like he's the leader of the Rat Pack. Like they recognize, like he is known not only as a like 5-time regional champion, but also as, you know, this huge Twitch streamer. And I love that they're, you know, recognizing all of this stuff. Celio's network, he got one of the really cool complete sets of celebrations. And the that name on the thing was Celio's network. Like, you know, like they recognized you as a YouTuber, you know, like this is your persona. We are recognizing you as this thing. You're like, you're a great player, but you're a huge pillar of this community. And so I love that they've been doing that. They sent us a bunch of information when PTCG Live was announced, because they're like, hey, here is all of the information laid out for content creators so you can answer all of the questions and help spread the word. And you know, stuff like that that they normally would have never done has been so, so, so nice. And it makes me really excited for the future of the competitive game when it comes back eventually, because Pokemon is finally acknowledged, like people exist, and it's going to keep growing and growing and growing so much. And we're going to start to see people like Sack get recognized, because I see you over there, Sack, and I know it's going to happen as soon as that consistent schedule happens. Yeah. And so it's
even beyond that, like Ethan Heggie becoming a Players Cup caster, Andrew Mahone being a Players Cup caster, like they're not just like,
so many.
I mean, Chip became a caster a while ago, right? But like, they're really giving these creators and these like people in the community like big roles. Like, you know, Mahone putting out, you know, Top Deck Academy, like that was huge, right? Like, they took a community creator, you know, a guy who just started this because he loved the game, and gave him this role of creating this beginner friendly content to help bring people into the game, right? Like, that was just like, they started really recognizing the creators in the community, and I like they're just on the path to keep doing that over time.
Yeah, so that's been my best moment personally. I think it's looking good moving forward. Now the question is, of course, what are they going to do once we're no longer online with PTCG Live drop? You know, there's like a lot of questions, but I have a lot of confidence that things are just going to head in the direction of like Magic with their creator camp program or whatever it's called. You know, it's like, it seems like things are just moving in the right direction, recognizing, hey, all these people are just advertising our product for us, so let's, you know, boost them up, help them to then help advertise the product more, and it's great. Now we're going to get a little bit of a downer. We've got a sandwich going on. We had two positives, going to go with a bit of a negative, and then two positives. The negative, I'm going to start it off because I'm about 90% sure you all will agree with me. First off, honorable mention for me for the worst moment, Sander being called a cuck by a TO because there was a dispute. That goes to honorable mention. I've got to call that out because that's still the thing that's rubbed me the wrong way more than anything ever happened in this thing. But the second worst moment was PTCG Live being announced and then delayed. Yeah. The toying with my emotions.
That's so good.
Like, I've never, the high, and I know you both felt it too, the high of PTCG Live being announced, I was riding that for weeks.
That was so hype, right? Like, it was what we'd been asking for. It was a new client, like a refresh, a new start. And then we've been sitting here for, what is it, January 2022, it's still waiting.
It's on the back of code cards. I've been redeeming these codes on PTCGO, and it says, play today on live. Pokemon trading card game live.
And I do want to preface this, after we just praised PTCG, or not TPCI, I do want to say, I understand why it's been printed on the cards, you know, all that kind of stuff. I do completely get it. We're not ragging on the development team. Love the development team. They're definitely taking some of our feedback, but also, this sucks. It sucks.
I know. It's so hype. You're like, oh, this is great. I love it. And then like the letdown from being excited.
But what I'm going to keep reminding myself is they're probably, what I'm hoping that is happening is they're not trying to rush a product, right? They're not just trying to get something out there.
Yes.
And I'd much rather them give us a really fine and like completed product on BDSP rather than just, you know, giving something out. I could go on and on about how much I, you know what? That's my worst moment. BDSP, like, it was cool, but there was so much wrong. Like, the fact that you could duplicate items in the game was, there was, like, I don't know if you people know this, but people speedrun the game the first week without battling once.
Yeah, because the, what's it called?
The menu glitches.
Elite Four people, they don't check for badges and stuff like that. Like, there's just so many glitches that are just like...
Like, you can sandwich menus together, basically, to skip past entire cutscenes, and you can glitch through the map and just walk into Cynthia's room, glitch past her, and complete the game without catching a Pokemon.
Let's go.
Well, spoil it for me.
Well, if you downloaded the patches, you cannot do that anymore.
Yeah, if you updated the game, you can't do that anymore. It was just like a big letdown to see like that, and then like there was issues with like the bike where you'd like, if you went on the stairs on a bike, you'd be in the stairs with the bike. Like, they didn't layer it properly. I don't know. It was a cool game. I'm much more excited for Legends Arceus. And personally, the best Pokemon Switch game that came out this year was Unite. That game is incredible. We've been having a lot of fun. I'm not that good, but I still love playing it. And I know y'all do too. Because Unite is just, it's what I hope PTCG Live is, you know? Constant updates, constant changes, new stuff, shaking up the game constantly, you know. That's what I want to see.
I lose hours of sleep to that game. I plan to go to bed at 9. I would have been at 2.
Bro, because climbing your rank is so much fun. And that's what I hope PTCG Live's the same. Well, that too, obviously.
I'm working on it. I'm going to get there.
Let's go ahead and move on to the best card of 2021. Sack, I assume you agreed with the worst moment.
Yeah.
Okay. The best card of 2021. You can go either the best one released or just the best card, period. It's kind of up to you how you want to go with the question. Sack, I don't think you've led us on any of these. So do you feel like you have an idea? What would you call the best card? The card of 2021. If you were to print a book about the 2021 Pokemon season, what card would be on the cover?
I kind of talked about this when we talked about the best sets, but it has to be Urshifu VMAX, Raptor Strike variety. It's been, when it came out, it was great. Then Shadow Rider got printed. We were like, oh no, Urshifu's dead, right? Then, nope, still came back with the Vengeance. It was great. Urshifu's so good. Post rotation, it was great. Mew rotated, right? All that stuff. Like, it could beat Shadow Rider. The Mew rotated and it beat everything. And then now Mew comes out and people are still finding ways for Urshifu VMAX to beat Psychic dot decks. Decks that are supposed to just beat the Urshifu because it's weak to Psychic, it does a lot of damage. Nope, you can still rapid flow, do 190 setup KOs here and there and beat every deck in the format. It's not great, right? It's not the tier one deck right now. Mew is up there, but for the entirety of the whole year, it has to be Rapid Strike. My opinion.
Nikhil, what do you say?
I disagree. It's Metagross VMAX. I'm just kidding. It is Urshifu. It's Rapid Strike Urshifu with It's just like, I mean, Mello talked about it, how the Rapid Strike core was just really cool, and they just kept building on it. And the thing is, the cars that kept coming out just kept building on just Rapid Strike Urshifu, right? Like, I mean, the Passimian just gave it that 30 more damage, then you can put the Telescopic Sight on and do 180. You have, obviously, the Drizzile and the Inteleon line, which gives it so much more room to work with. You got the Metacham V in formats where you could go, like, take two turns in a row. Like, your opponent's Mew would just be pointless because you go, double quick shoot, Metacham V, give me another turn. Okay. I mean, it just... And then Raihan came out, too, which made it even more insane. And then people figured out Melanie's, like, a way to use it, too. I mean, the deck just keeps growing, and... Without a doubt, it's just the best card we've gotten. I'd say arguably top three VMAXs we've ever gotten.
Yeah. So, it has to be number one. Number two, in my opinion, honorable mention, goes to Mew. It's so dominant right now and will be dominant for a long time to come.
For a while.
Number three, Shadow Rider.
Shadow Rider.
Interesting.
Had to go for like that format. It was so impactful when it first came out to be paired with Gengar Mimikyu. I played it today online, on stream. All right, it's still doing okay, but now it's very, very good and expanded. And so I think to be able to, it just dominates a lot of formats. It dominated when it came out, just lost to Urshifu, and what it was paired with, I think it had a good run this year.
I'd like to make my nomination for the third one to be Eternatus VMAX. Now here's my reasoning, and hear me out.
Because I hate that deck so much.
It's so stupid. But E-Turn was really good. Like, E-Turn was the first true VMAX we got that, like, showed what they're trying to do, that they were power creeping out the tag teams, right? E-Turn could one-shot a lot of tag teams. It was really good about doing that. Was it that good as a deck? Probably not. But it was like the first true VMAX we saw that was like, all right, you're trying to kill off some tag teams. Let's be real, right? Then a Scorch and, Dragapult, they were good, but like E-Turn was like designed to kill tag teams.
So I'm gonna say you're
Pikram kind of dunked on it.
Both
and also
Pikram
in 2020.
Okay, what are your takes, Mel? Let's hear.
Oh, so I was gonna say I'm gonna go this way of the 2021 season, the whole year. Which cards were the most which were the best cards? Right. So I'm gonna go number three because of the Vivid Voltage format, Crushing Hammer. I was not known as a salty streamer until that stupid card existed.
And Crushing Hammer brings back some good times.
Exactly. Okay,
if we're talking cards in general, that's a different conversation. But I think Zach and I were approaching it as cards that came out in 2021.
No, I'm going with...
You listed E-Turn that came out in 2020.
No, I was just talking
about... Hey, great cards 2021.
I was just talking about VMAXs.
The number two card of the 2021 year is Marnie. Because just like Crushing Hammer, but even more so, how many angry people have we seen blame the format on Marnie being the issue? How many angry tweets have we seen? I would have won, but I got Marnied into a dead hand, so I lost. Marnie's number two.
That sounds like you need better deck building, better consistency, better plans you're out, right? Marnie hasn't lost me as many games as like Urshifu's impact to the meta.
But see, the thing.
What's number one? That's number two, though. So got number one coming.
Number one, far and away, incredibly easy. Drizzile. Drizzile has changed the way the game is played. I don't think that's even close.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so Drizzile's my number one card of the 2021 season. Literally the most boring thing in the world. Possibly the only middle evolution to possibly be the best, like. Card and their most impactful card of an entire year. So yeah, that is for me.
You're right, actually.
Yeah, I mean, what is the other? They're I don't know. This is a question for Alex and James next time they're on.
But like, yeah, I can't even think. But what I'm curious is, I want to know what your answer to the way we looked at the question was. Like, what do you think the best card in 2021 was? Do you think it's also Rapid Strike Urshifu?
What are the most impact on the format? It would definitely be Drizzile, but like Drizzile's not in the tanker. It kind of went in every deck. So
are we going? So if we're going off of, you said the most impactful card that came out in 2021 or the most impactful main part of a deck?
Most impactful probably goes to Drizzile.
But no, out in 2021. It's like the most impactful card that came out this year.
Gosh, that's actually a really hard one. Like Rapid Strike Energy seems like it could be up there. Single Strike Energy could be up there because those cards are just ridiculously good that have been powerful in multiple decks. Keep Calling Sobble deserves a mention.
Path of the Peak.
Is that card's good? Yes. Path of the Peak. I think Jolteon VMAX is one that deserves an honorable mention. As far as like big cards, like it loses to Urshifu and yet it keeps winning tournaments. So clearly it's fine.
I'd say also, probably the most, one of the most impactful basic Vs, like VMAXs, is definitely Suicune. Definitely like one of the few viable pure two prizer decks.
Yes.
Which mentioned half the year on these guys. Suicune came out involved in Skies. There was like an entire format that Suicune wasn't part of.
But I mean,
if Peekaround, if Suicune existed with Peekaround, Suicune would not exist with Peekaround.
I mean, right, because like light, I mean, it just gets bodied, but like also
Suicune, Ludicolo, so and then you go Melanie, evolved a Ludicolo, Oko.
I'm hitting with both of you. You want a Bolt Storm next or what? What did I Bolt Storm?
No, because you Electrify, then I KO you. No. I think Suicune would have a better matchup.
Peekaround, you're not kidding with anything against Grease Peekaround. Just getting full blitzed.
Level Ball.
Good point. Level Ball. Yeah. Level Ball is very up there.
I think that deserves a mention.
Yeah. There's a lot of consistency cards that came out, and those are just across the board in every deck almost. So it's kind of hard to say with those ones. Because they're in the every format, like Ultra Ball, Quick Ball, you know, like the research kind of stuff.
But like, Level Ball allowed the Drizzile engine to be so much better than it is. Like, without Level Ball, the Drizzile engine would be a lot worse than it actually is.
Yes. Yeah, that card is. Because we played the Drizzile engine. Ooh, and I think Zach, you did too. Or maybe it was Locke. It was Senescorch and Inteleon.
Yeah.
But pre-Level Ball. Because it was like, wait, I can just go get Welder, and I can go get Crystal, and this card's broken. But you had to play Incense.
For that piece.
Yeah, you had to play Incense, yeah. Peacom. It was it was not good.
But being able to Level Ball for all the Sobbles and all the Drizzile, like,
Do you guys remember ADP with Inteleon?
I do.
Should you do this for boss?
Shout out to Japan for the wildest list that was actually not bad. All right, the last one. And I think we all agree so far, we kind of built towards it, but the best deck during the year 2021. That's all. Without explanation. I'm going to say Rapid Strike Urshifu.
Rapid Strike Urshifu.
Yeah, the won Players Cup 3 and won Players Cup 4. It didn't win Pog purely because Mewtwo and Mew and Luke Metal were everywhere. Like, it was so hard countered. Yeah. Like, I went into day one saying, I'm going to beat this deck because it was the most played deck in day one for obvious reasons. So, yeah.
I mean, like, we've explained it enough. It was just, it was the deck that Pokemon gave so much juice to for a whole year, you know? They gave 4 sets worth of good cards to it, basically.
I think someone said it somewhere, but they said Rapid Strike Urshifu is the new Peekaround in that it will never die. It will adapt to every meta that it ever touches and be fine. And it is 100% true. Like, every single format that thing touches, I think it's going to be meta viable. I'm considering it for Utah still. Without even knowing the rest of the next set, it's like, well, if people are off Mew, what does it lose to?
People are on Arceus, dude. People on Arceus. That's just body one. Yeah.
Right?
But still, anything that's like capped around 190, 210, 220 HP, as long as you still have quick shooting and the, you know, stimulant of sight and all that stuff, and just the entire package that goes into Rapid Strike Urshifu on two prizes, you're not safe.
No, so yeah. You're
not safe. Yeah, I mean, I think it's comparable to like the Force Peekaround had, the Force like Zoroark had, stuff. I mean, it was just, it's so influential. I mean, like, even ADP, it's like it completely wiped out basically like one prizers for so long in the form. It was so hard to play one prizers because it would just clean them up every turn, you know, like.
Yeah, Jolteon and Urshifu that are like gatekeeping smaller decks, but at the same time, those happen in every format.
Right.
Yeah, the single prizes just haven't kept up with the massive HP, which isn't a design issue that we're not going to get into on this one. But let's see, real quick, what is your number two deck of 2021? Because we agree on Rapid Strike Urshifu.
Can I say Peekaround, or that's just biased?
I think you can both say it and it's biased, but since it's my podcast, I will allow it.
I'm not going to say Pegram, though.
I'm going to go with Mew.
I'm going to agree with that.
In any other formats, right, like previous format, it's just very dominant. Right. Even like if you look at Japan's list, which has a different format than us, like they're very inclusive. I think back to Team Up still. I think Mew is very dominant. It's going to continue to be dominant. It came out in 2021. So I think Mew would be number two and then Shadow Rider number three.
Yeah, I'd agree. Mew is like somewhere in that top three. Probably Shadow Rider's somewhere there too. Just between the two of them, they were just like so strong and so dominant for so long. Like in their especially in their formats, like Shadow Rider was really good in its format, and Mew is, I mean, obviously the BDIF. Like, there's no doubt in the format that the best deck is Mew. And it's hard to like put a title on any other deck like that, because like ADP started falling off with like a good chunk this year. Like, it got worse and worse each set.
And yeah, and once it rotated, no one played it anymore.
Yeah, man, imagine that.
Yeah, I think like some qualities that a best deck has to have is that it even beats the deck that are supposed to counter it. Like Urshifu still beat Shadow Rider and still beat Mew and still beat Mewtwo and all those things. And like Shadow Rider still beat E-Turn and any dark deck that came out, just how powerful it was. And Mew is still beating Single Strike and Gengar and the Baby Moltres deck.
Sableye.
All that stuff. It's still beating the decks that are supposed to beat it, which is just ridiculous. So all those decks beat what's supposed to counter it. So I think those are the top three.
I'm realizing now I asked a question I don't know the answer to. And I'm kind of, I can't say Mew just because the amount of time isn't there, but also I can't disagree with Mew because, I mean,
it's Mew.
It's so good. It's one of those.
It is hard. I agree that like the time frame is difficult to go off of because like some things like, you know, faltered off, like Ice Rider's like not as amazing as it was, or is not as good as it was at a point, right? Like things like fall off, but like Mew is just so good right now that like we're inclined to kind of like believe it's one of the best decks, but like who knows in a month or like in two sets it's like dead, right? Like who knows?
Nah, you got E power, that thing's going nowhere. You're gonna Elko everything.
Part of my bias towards Mew is also it's the only deck that I saw on release, and I emailed Brian at Tabletop Village, shout out to my sponsor, and I was like, I'm ordering a 4-4 or a 4-3 line of this and 4 Genesex and all these other cards. Like, I don't care what the price is, just get them to me. Like, it was just so blatantly disgusting.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, so that's part of me. It's like, it's just so good. But I'm going to say, due to time, Ice Rider, I hate that I'm saying that so much. Ice Rider was good as soon as it was released.
What turn did it win any tournaments? What?
It won Pog.
Tough.
And then it's just been around constantly. That's the thing. No one's worried about Ice Rider. It's such a meme. But it's there. Single Strike? No, because Single Strike was like awful until rotation happened.
Yeah. It needed good until recently.
Yeah, I think
it only got good with Umbreon. Yeah,
Ice Rider's never been bad. Like, it's underplayed technically because it, out of the win percentage, is always really good. It always does just fine. It can beat Luke Metal when that was a thing. It beat Zashi and Zamazenta. It's, I don't know. The deck just survives, and I think it's good. And I hate that it's good because every week at locals, I had to hear Lee, shout out to last episode's guest. Lee would just, ooh, Ice Tray, brr, and then flip Crushing Hammer like 4 times a game. But it was like, oh my gosh, this deck is just really good. So I think Ice Rider is my number two, as much as I hate to say that. I refuse to call it Ice Tray, though.
Good.
It doesn't even make my top 5.
That's fair. It should make no one's top 20, but I think it's my number two. Mew is. Maybe number two.
Rather play Mew, rather play Jolteon, rather play Suicune, rather play Peak again in this meta, Shadow Rider, all those things.
Every of the things except for Ice Rider.
Yep.
So let's go ahead and get into some questions from Twitch chat. As always, we are live on twitch.tv/mellow_magikarp. We only have a couple today because, you know, best of episode, not a whole lot to ask. But the first question is from Slapjacks. What
he always has a question ready, like every time.
What is the best pasta?
I'm a big fan of the curly ones.
Ah, yes.
Not elbow.
The curly.
But like the curly ones.
Rigatoni.
Yeah.
So it's not actually pasta.
Then it's not the correct answer.
How is that an answer? Yeah. What?
But I'm saying.
What's the best pasta? Have you tried potatoes?
Gnocchi is like considered the kind of like a pasta, but I guess it's not a pasta. So I would say like tagliatelle is probably my favorite. It's like the long, flat, kind of like thick noodles. I really like those. You get some like sauce on those and you like slurp those up. Those are really good.
Lasagna is pretty good too.
Yeah, that was going to be my pick.
Man, I'm hungry now. Gosh dang it.
It's made you guys. With pasta. I'm a lasagna person. That's definitely. Yeah. D.A. Askew asks, what is your favorite deck of the season?
I mean, I know both of yours. Shadow Rider, really?
Or not Peak. Pika? It's Peak. Of course, I'm a Peak, but it's also been around forever. It's like my favorite deck of the past 3 years.
Hmm. I put out a tweet with my top five decks, and the number one on that tweet is my number one. I think Relish is my favorite. It is so slow and methodical. And it's just really enjoyable, the number of options, which is the Rillaboom Mewtwo, for anyone who is unaware of the nickname that we've given it.
Shout out to Boosie K.
I think that's my favorite, even though it was only good for one format. It was just so fun.
I'd say I like Tempozard a lot. I had a lot of fun playing that. But I'm going to say my favorite was Desigoons. I really enjoyed that deck. Like, I don't know what it was, the deck that I did the best with in events that I played it, like tried really hard at. I qualified for my team challenge with it. I won two of our team challenge weekends with it. It just, I really enjoyed that deck, but I think Tempozard and like, I mean, the peak run with Medicham was like really fun to play. Like seeing people's reaction to seeing the Medicham V take three prizes and then do it again the next turn with the Raichu, that was the best feeling ever.
Very nice.
That's pretty sweet. Shout out Zach for that list.
If I had to go in order, probably from like the top, be Peek Around with Hammers and Yelgrunt, mostly because I piloted it very early before anyone else did and made that. And then go Greens Peek because I love Greens and I love Peek Around. And I think being able to search a deck for like whatever card you wanted to play that card, lovely. Piloted Greens Peek before a lot of people did back in Knoxville in 2019. That was playing Grease Peak.
Yeah.
Third would probably be Green's Travador. I've been hyping that up before Cresselia came out in a long time. I was playing it with Rotom, trying to do my thing, and it was a lot of fun when Cresselia finally came out and we got Path to the Peak, and it worked one. It didn't really work out well. I didn't place well. It was a lot of fun to like consider my opponent's outs and play around them, and then go Shadow Rider, and then after that it's whatever. But yeah, go in that order. Favorite decks in 2021.
So, Sack, where can the people find you if they want more of this goodness?
Twitch, as you can find me right now. Also, follow me on Twitter. But today on Twitch, we hit 1,000 followers over at SackSack17. So, I might start to do something or have to do something for 1,000 followers. I was told a 24-hour stream. Because I consistently do 12s when I feel like it. And so we'll see how it goes. But yeah, Twitch, SackSack17, Twitter, SackSack_17. And I'm going to work on my YouTube. Bear with me. I'm getting to it. Promise you there's going to be more YouTube content. But that's where you can find me.
Let's go. Nikhil, where can the people find you?
In Twitch chats. shout out to Mello and Sack for real. If you're not watching these two live, get in here because Sack does some pretty good early day content, which is really nice because I start my day, I make my breakfast and I have Sack running in the background like all morning. And then whenever I see Mello on, I'll throw Mello on and listen to the fish talk. So like for real, these two have been killing it this year and I'm really happy to see how much they've grown. So like definitely please check them out. But for real, you can find me at Twitter, NK0HLY, and then still working on it with Boo. Give us some time, but we will have our daily radio show out soon enough. It should be interesting because Boo and I have a lot of animosity for each other. I say one word and Boo immediately yells at me. So it'll be a fun 30 minutes-ish every day, but hope to see you guys there.
Hopefully I can make some appearances on there too.
Oh, heck yeah. Zach's going to be like guest number one or two, bro.
And of course, myself, you can find me Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube at @Mello_Magikarp. Twitch, Tuesday starting at 4 p.m. Pacific. Fridays, we stream the Tabletop Village tournament. That is IRL gameplay starting at 6 p.m. Pacific, and usually a Saturday or Sunday, depending on what my life is doing. YouTube uploads Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday as well. Check those out. I got some Expanded going on, and Expanded's not bad. And part of the reason Expanded's not bad is because Standard is bad. But you check out the Expanded because it's as fun as Standard right now, but more because there's like cool stuff you can do, like Tool Drop Whimsicott and Egg Splat Aggrow and Snorlax Stall. Also, if you're on Spotify or iTunes, you can leave a review. Spotify just put out reviews. So drop 5 stars or drop as many stars as you have fingers on your hand. That's usually a good number. Anyway, thank you all so much. We are back to weekly uploads now that we're past the holidays. And this has been another episode of the Lake of Rage podcast. We'll catch you all next week.